Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We resume together our beautiful journey with the Quran, and today we are at stop number 13 with Surah Hud and Surah Yusuf. Both Surah Hud and Surah Yusuf are Surah Makkiyah, which means they were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah al-Mukarramah. The two Surah display the characteristics of the Quran of Makkah, which usually has the stories of the prophets and messengers who preceded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about these different stories, as we mentioned before, it is not for entertainment, although they are very interesting and entertaining stories with their details and the human aspects in them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these stories to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for particularly one very important aspect, which is showing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the aggression and the opposition and the harassment that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is facing from Quraysh is nothing new. In fact, this is to be expected, which means that all the prophets and messengers before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced the same kind of opposition, harassment, and objection to the call of the truth. If we go back to the very first days or maybe day of Islam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at that time he was not exactly sure about what that was. He was shaking, he was trembling, he was scared that it might be something evil. And he went to his wife, beautiful wife, Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, and she saw him in this case and she wondered what's going on with him. And she asked him about what he saw. He told her, and then she responded in a very beautiful way, very wise way, Wallahi la yukhzik Allahu abada. By Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let you down. And then she gave the justification, you take care of the poor and the orphan, and you feed the needy, and you give help to the helpless, and you help them overcome the calamities of time. So for these reasons, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let you down. And then to make sure, as Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to her cousin. Her cousin was an old scholar of Christianity and one of the few people who were worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the true faith of Sayyidina Isa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, and without any association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the cousin, Sayyidina Waraq ibn Nawfal radiallahu anhu, who died shortly after that as a believer in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam something very odd and very interesting at the same time. He told him that what you have received is the same messenger who used to carry the message to all the prophets before you. And then he told him, and I wish I were strong to be able to defend you when your people try to expel you from your land and declare enmity and war against you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who until that time was most beloved by his tribe and his people and everyone who came into interaction with him, and they called him As-Sadiq al-Amin, the honest, the trustworthy sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they accepted his judgment more than once, most famously in the event of rebuilding Al-Kaaba, when they were about to declare war because of who's going to have the honor of placing the black stone in its final location, and they accepted the judgment of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard from Waraq ibn Nawfal radiallahu anhu that his people are going to declare war against him, he asked him, "Awa mukhrijiyahum? Are they going to try to expel me from my homeland in Mecca?" And Sayyidina Waraq radiallahu anhu, who had read in the previous books and who has the knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, told him, any prophet, any man who came with something similar to what you came with has been opposed by his people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the stories of the prophets and messengers in the different surah, and an example of them in Surah Hud, very similar to Surah Al-A'raf and very similar to Surah Ash-Shu'ara. We find that series of stories of the prophets, as we mentioned before, the cycles, one after the other, which starts with the Prophet, it starts in different surah in different ways. In Surah Ash-Shu'ara, for example, it starts from the end with the enmity of the people against the Prophet. In Surah Hud that we're going to be visiting today, it takes us from the beginning of the story when the Prophet received the revelation, invited his people to Islam, their rejection, the saving of the believers, and the destruction of the non-believers, and then starts another cycle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of these stories always gives the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a commandment, telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that in these stories is a certain wisdom that you should understand, and what is the lesson learned from all of these stories? Patience, endure patience. Eventually you will be victorious and the disbelief is going to be defeated. Surah Hud starts with Alif Lam Ra, these individual letters that come sometimes at the beginning of the surah, and in most of the cases these individual letters are followed by a mention of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we find in Surah Al-Baqarah, for example, Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. In Surah Hud, Alif Lam Ra, كتاب أحكمت آياته ثم فصلت من لدن حكيم خبير ألا تعبدوا إلا الله إنني لكم منه نذير وبشير. So it's a book that has been perfected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the main guidance in that book is do not worship anything apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah is giving us on more than one occasion the benefits of istighfar, of seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes also in Surah Nuh, where Sayyidina Nuh ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam tells his people about the benefits of istighfar, not only the spiritual benefits but also the physical benefits in this earthly life, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide them in abundance. And here also the same meaning comes in Surah Hud, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that if we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide us in abundance as long as we are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that, again, the fact that any creature on the face of this earth is supported solely by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything about every creature that lives on this earth, where it spends the night, where its final abode is going to be, where is it going to earn its sustenance, how is it going to earn its sustenance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the meaning of the beautiful hadith about the reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognizing that sustenance only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, لو أنكم تتوكلون على الله حق توكله لرزقكم مثل كما يرزق الطير تغدو خماصا وتروح بطانا. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. The mere translation of the meaning of the hadith is that if you truly rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He would provide you as He provides the birds. The birds do not have any worry in the morning, where are they going to get their next meal? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who provides them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you truly rely and depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your provision is guaranteed. He will provide you as He provides for the birds. They go in the morning out of their nests with empty stomachs and come back at the end of the day with full stomachs because of their reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Hud about Sayyidina Nuh ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, about the family ties, who is family and who is not family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in other surah, like in Surah Al-Hujurat for example, He subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the believers are brethren, they are brothers and sisters. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a sample of that in the story of Sayyidina Nuh ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, who invited his people to Islam for so many years. And after 950 years, Few accepted his call. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to build that big ship in the middle of the desert. And people used to pass by him, mocking him and making fun of him. Look at this crazy old man building a ship in the middle of the desert. Where is it going to sail? And they did not know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and has revealed to his messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Nuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, build that ship with our guidance. And then when the time comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to open the floodgates of the heavens and the earth. And water is going to meet in between the water coming from the heavens, the rain, heavy rain, torrential rain, floods, and water gushing from the earth. Both of them are going to meet in the middle, and the ship is going to be carried by the waves created by this water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised Sayyidina Nuh ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save him and his family. Now Sayyidina Nuh had a son, and that son has always been a troublesome son. He has not been an obedient son. Sayyidina Nuh, trying at the last moment, thinking that, or trying understanding the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a literal sense rather than in a global sense, that Ahli means my family, which means my family is going to be saved. Who is closer to me than my wife and my son? Which both of them were actually non-believers, and both of them perished. Sayyidina Nuh ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, seeing the water rising and seeing the boat floating on top of this water and seeing his son at a distance, he called for his son to be saved. Come, join us on this safe haven, on this ship. But the son said, no, I'm going to rush to the top of the mountain where I'm going to seek refuge and protection at the top of the mountain. Sayyidina Nuh told him, there's no protection today except on this ship. لا عاصم اليوم من أمر الله إلا من رحم. And while they were talking, the waves came to separate them. وحال بينهما الموج فكان من المغرقين. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala authorized the earth to start absorbing this water and the sky to stop this rain. So gradually the ship started resting down until it rested on flat earth again, on the terra firma, not flat earth, on earth again. And Sayyidina Nuh ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam remembered the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala rabbi innabni min ahli wa anta ahkamul hakimin. Oh Allah, you promised me that you're going to save my family, and my son is part of my family, and you are the most wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected him. قَالَ يَا نُوحُ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. He's not part of your family. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. He, in some narrations, إِنَّهُ عَمِلَ غَيْرَ صَالِحٍ, and in other recitations, إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. He is a bad seed. He is a bad deed. He is a bad person by himself. So he's not part of your family. Your family is only the family of faith. And the family of faith has been saved as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a glimpse from the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, how the angels came to him with the glad tidings, with the good news, after a long time. Now he already had a son, Sayyidina Ismail ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, from a Sayyida Hajar alayhi salam, but now with his wife, a Sayyida Sarah alayhi salam, he had not had a son, and they longed for a son. They asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for so many years until they grew old and they pretty much forgot about that hope. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now brings that hope back to life when these strangers came and Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam showed them his traditional hospitality. He slaughtered a calf to feed them, but they are angels, they're not going to be able to eat. It was a sign of aggression if you invite a guest and that guest does not eat from your food. That would call for trouble, because you would not be safe. A guest who came in peace would eat from your food. So when Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam saw this guest not eating from his food, he got worried. And they told him, don't be worried. We are messengers from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We came to destroy a nearby village, the village of your nephew Lot, على نبينا وعليه الصلاة والسلام. The wife of Sayyidina Ibrahim, Sayyida Sarah, listening to that, she got happy because these people have been committing a sin, an unprecedented sin, homosexuality. It never existed before, and they have been fighting their prophet Sayyidina Lut ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. So when she heard about the destruction of that village, she laughed. She was happy with the victory coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support Sayyidina Lut. وَامْرَأَتُهُ قَائِمَةٌ فَضَحِكَتْ. When she smiled, when she laughed, فَبَشَّرْنَاهَا بِإِسْحَاقٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her the good news. You are going to carry a child, and that child's name is going to be Ishaq. The Hebrew translation or the pronunciation of Ishaq is Yitzhak. Yitzhak means the one who laughs, the one who yadhak in Arabic. So Sayyidina Ishaq ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam was granted or promised to Sayyidina Ibrahim in this event. Now Sayyidina Ibrahim is asking, how are you going to destroy that village? It has my nephew Lut, who is a believer, and there are some believers in that village. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Sayyidina Ibrahim, do not ask too many questions. Ya Ibrahim, أعرض عن هذا. إنه قد جاء أمر ربك وإنهم آتيهم عذاب غير مردود. Now when the messengers came to Sayyidina Lut, when these angels came in a human form of very handsome men to Sayyidina Lut, the evil people of his village wanted to commit the bad act with them. And Sayyidina Lut told them, my daughters are available for marriage. You can marry my daughter instead of doing this ugly sin, this deplorable sin. They told him, we have no need, we have no desire in your daughters. We want these men. Sayyidina Lut was so upset. These people now are coming to make my agony even more. I have been trying to fight these people and these urges of my people, and now they are increasing them. So these strangers told Sayyidina Lut ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, قالوا يا لوط إنا رسل ربك لن يصلوا إليك. We are the messengers of your Lord. They're not going to be able to reach you. So leave that evil village because destruction is coming soon. And that village was destroyed in a unique way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised that village or lifted that village to the heavens and then toppled it down, upside down, which is a unique way of punishment for this group of transgressors against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the story about Sayyidina Hud and how his people again rebelled against him. And when he invited them to Islam, they told him, this is something that we never heard about before and we're not going to believe you. They were destroyed. And he was saved with his followers. Sayyidina Salih, who came with the proof, the camel. These people were carving houses out of the rock of the mountain. He carved a camel from that rock, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that camel alive as a proof and as a sign that he's a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he told them, this water pond, this water source, we're going to split it. You are going to alternate with the camel. One day the camel drinks, the other day you drink and do not mix. And one day they wanted to drink on the day of the camel, so one of them decided to kill that camel. They killed the camel, and Sayyidina Salih ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam told them, you have 3 days. If you do not repent, punishment is coming. And they made fun of him. 3 days later, punishment came and they were destroyed and the believers were saved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the story about Sayyidina Shu'aib ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, how his people had this injustice of not weighing things properly. When they buy, they want to get more. When they sell, they want to give less. And Sayyidina Shu'aib told them, this is a bad practice. Now, in their limited understanding of faith, they do not understand that Islam is a comprehensive way of life, dealing with daily affairs as well as spiritual affairs. قالوا يا شعيب أصلاتك تأمرك أن نترك ما يعبد آباؤنا أو أن نفعل في أموالنا ما نشاء. What does your prayer have to do with our daily financial transactions? You invited us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We stayed back. And now why do you interfere in our daily interactions? And he told them, I came as a reformer. إن أريد إلا الإصلاح ما استطعت. وما توفيقي إلا بالله. عليه توكلت وإليه أنيب. I want to reform as much as I can. My success is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They rejected him. They were destroyed. And life kept going on. And then by the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us another chapter from the story of Sayyidina Musa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. And at the end of all of these stories, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a very firm and strong commandment to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is sort of the main theme of the surah, or the conclusion, the lesson learned from the surah. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَطْغَوْا إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارُ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءَ ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَي النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَى لِلذَّاكِرِينَ وَاصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The mere translation of the meaning of the beautiful ayat in this passage is, straighten up on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have been shown the roadmap. You have been shown history about the previous nations. So stay the course, follow the same path as they did, and you will be victorious in the end. You straighten up with your followers according to the curriculum given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that way of life, that comprehensive way of life called Islam. And do not be aggressors, do not be oppressors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you are doing. And do not rely, do not lean, do not seek support from the oppressors either. If you do, you're going to be touched by the fire and you will not find any allies apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will not be victorious by aligning yourself with the oppressors and the wrongdoers. Establish prayer in the morning and in the evening, طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل, at the two extremes of the day, in the early morning and in the late evening and parts of the night. And this salah is guidance, it's protection, it's expiation of sins. إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات, the good deeds wipe out the bad deeds. ذلك ذكرى للذاكرين, this is a reminder for those who want to remember. وَاصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And endure patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not waste the efforts and the good deeds of those who do the good deeds. This is a brief summary of Surah Hud, which is a very beautiful surah. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received this surah and similar other surah, talking about the Day of Judgment, talking about the punishment for the non-believers, talking about the destruction of the previous nations, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, شَيَّبَتْنِي هُودٌ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا. This surah and its sisters, similar surah with the same meanings, have put terror in my heart and caused some of my hair to become gray out of observing the might and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicates the whole surah, almost the whole surah, to talk about the story of only one prophet, or actually two prophets, Sayyidina Yusuf ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam and his father Sayyidina Yaqub ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. It's a very tender story, very beautiful story. Some people, when they read this story or this surah, they feel that the main theme of the surah is patience. Although patience is mentioned in the surah more than once, that the father, Sayyidina Yaqub ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam, has lived through this patience for so long. However, I believe that the main theme of the surah is not only patience, but it is knowledge. When we look in the surah, actually, when we read thoroughly through the surah, we find that the word that's repeated quite often in the surah and the meaning that's repeated quite often in the surah is alim or ilm, allamna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes many of the ayat with two of his beautiful names, subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-alim al-hakim, the most knowledgeable, the most wise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again in this surah reveals to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the story of his brother Sayyidina Yusuf ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam and his father Sayyidina Yaqub ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam from this family of faith. Some people came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asking him about Ya Rasulullah, man al-Kareem, who's the one with the most noble descent? Or that's how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam understood the initial question. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam responded by saying that al-Kareem, the one with the noblest of descent, is my brother Yusuf. He is a prophet. His father Sayyidina Yaqub is a prophet. His grandfather Sayyidina Ishaq is a prophet. His granduncle Sayyidina Ismail is a prophet. And his great-grandfather Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam is a prophet. So it is very seldom that you find five prophets in the same family, especially two from whom all the other prophets came later on, from the offspring of Sayyidina Ibrahim, from the side of Sayyidina Ishaq, came all the remaining prophets afterwards, except for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from the side of Sayyidina Ismail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's a great family, it's a great ancestry, it's great lineage. You can't find in history any better lineage. But the companions, when they heard this description from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, that was not exactly our question. That's not what we're asking about. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, فَعَنْ مَعَادِنِ النَّاسِ تَسْأَلُونَنِي. Are you asking the question in general about who could be good people and who would be not so good people? And the companions confirmed, yes, this is what we're asking about. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded by saying, خياركم في الجاهلية خياركم في الإسلام إذا فقه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. The best of you in the time of Jahiliyyah will be the best of you in the time of Islam if they learn and if and when they become Muslims. That's why we find people who had a great reputation before Islam, like Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid رضي الله عنه, becoming a great agent of Islam رضي الله عنه. Sayyidina Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, the honorable, respectable trader and merchant, well known before Islam, he became the greatest companion of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه, who was known for his strength and might before Islam, became that great merciful Khalifa of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and so on and so forth. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that there are some people who have a good caliber only if they learn, only if they can see the truth and come to the right side, the right side of history, the right side of the creation, which is Islam. If they can only see that, they can be a great asset for Islam. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the best judge of character, he would look at his companions and he would say, I wish this person would become a Muslim. As we mentioned before, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said that there are a few people that I feel sad that they haven't seen the light yet. Attab ibn Usaid, a young man from a prominent family in Mecca. Suhail ibn Amr, a great orator and speaker from Quraysh. Safwan ibn Umayyah, who comes from a prominent family, but a family of disbelief, unfortunately. And Hakim ibn Hizam, the nephew of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, who used to smuggle food and supplies to the believers when they were stranded in the strait of Bani Hashim in the early days of Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a great potential in these individuals, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wished that they would see the light and become Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that wish. All of these individuals later on became Muslims and became great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Attab ibn Usaid was 20 some years old. He was the first ruler of Mecca when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reconquered Mecca under the name of Islam. in the 8th year of the Hijrah, he appointed Abtab ibn Usayd radiyallahu anhu as the wali of Mecca, or the ruler of Mecca, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned back to Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. Suhail ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu, the negotiator of Quraysh in the truce of Hudaybiyah on behalf of Quraysh, later on he supported Islam, especially during the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu and the wars of the apostates who went back into disbelief after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Safwan ibn Umayyah, who supported the army of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Battle of Hunayn, even before becoming a Muslim and later on becoming a good Muslim. Hakim ibn Hizam radiyallahu anhu, who would remember, and when he wanted to swear sincerely, he would say, "I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who spared my life on the day of Badr." There was a pond, a water pond in Badr, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hakim ibn Hizam at that time was still a non-believer, and he tried to drink from that pond among a group of non-believers. All of them were killed with the exception of Hakim ibn Hizam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved his life for a later day, and he became a good and great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best judge of character. Now going back to Surah Yusuf, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through this surah, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. We're going to tell you the best of the stories through this Qur'an that has been revealed to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the story in a very beautiful way with a dream of Sayyidina Yusuf ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. The dream that he saw as a child that he could not yet interpret. He did not understand the significance of that dream. Later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make that great prophet ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam grow up to be an expert in the interpretation of dreams. He told his father, "I saw 11 stars and the sun and the moon prostrating to me." His father, who was a prophet, son of a prophet, knew that this dream is not a regular young boy's dream. This has a certain significance. So he told his son, "Do not share this dream with anyone, especially your brothers. Do not share this dream with your brothers, because if you do, I'm afraid they might get jealous, they might understand, they might see whatever I see, the potential in you, and they might get jealous, and they might do something bad to you." When Sayyidina Yaqub ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam heard that dream from his young son Sayyidina Yusuf, the youngest at that time, he later on would have another son who would be younger than Sayyidina Yusuf, but he knew that this boy is going to grow up to be a prominent person with the blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The brothers saw that as well. And they saw the love of Sayyidina Yaqub for his young son, Sayyidina Yusuf ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. And as the father expected, they became jealous and they plotted to get rid of him. We know that they played that game, trying to convince their father to let them take their brother Sayyidina Yusuf to play with them, and then they threw him in the dungeon. Later on, he would be purchased as a slave and sold to the minister of Egypt, the person who basically was running the affairs, or the chargé d'affaires, in Egypt, and basically he was raised in the palace of that man, who treated him like a son. Sayyidina Yusuf, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, was extremely handsome. Anyone who saw him was surprised by his physical beauty. And the woman, the wife of that minister of Egypt, his sort of surrogate mother, if you will, she desired him growing up to be a strong, handsome young man. And we know the story when she locked the gates, she locked the doors one after another inside the palace, and she tries to seduce him, but he, ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who appreciates a favor, he said, "No, that would not be an honorable thing for me to do. Innahu Rabbi ahsana matwaya." He is my Lord. He's not here talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the way, as some people think, but he's talking about his surrogate father, the man who raised him I'm not going to return that favor with betrayal. That is not the behavior, and that's not the character of a noble person. إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. I am not going to do that. The woman was burning with desire, so she tried to bring him closer to her, and he was trying to run away from her. And in that process, she tore his shirt from the back. And who would be at the door? The husband, who came to find that scene. His wife with his foster son, or the man that he raised as a son, with the shirt of that man torn from the back. The woman, you can give her credit for that. She had a very fast thinking. She could think on her feet. So she said, look at the man that you brought to our house that we treated like a son. Look at how he tried to attack me. Sayyidina Yusuf ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam was surprised from this false allegation. And then a witness from the family of that woman testified and said, and some narrations say that there was a miracle, that this was a baby that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made to speak, as to show that this is not someone who would tell a lie, but someone who's been inspired to tell the truth. Look at where the tear in the shirt is. If it is from the front, then he was trying to attack him and she was trying to protect herself. But if the tear is from the back, he was trying to run away from her and she was trying to grab him closer to her. When they saw the shirt torn from the back, it was clear that she was lying and Sayyidina Yusuf ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam was telling the truth. What should they do? The normal thing is to declare his innocence and to admonish this woman, tell her that shame on you, you shouldn't have done that. But to keep the scandal close at a close range, they decided that we are going to put him in jail. We know the story about the women who came, and that wife of that minister invited them when gossip started spreading about that scandal, and she wanted to show them how irresistible his beauty was. She invited them to a meal. She gave them some fruits or food and knives, and then he appeared, and when they saw him, they could not keep their eyes off him, so they started cutting their own hands with these knives instead of cutting the fruits. And then she told them, and here is the one that you blamed me for. Don't you find that I had an excuse? And that's when they decided to put him in jail. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about what happened in jail. Sayyidina Yusuf was an exemplary prisoner. He was someone who showed all signs of honor, of respect, of calm, of serenity. And the people around him, the two cellmates, noticed that this is not a regular prisoner, not someone who seems to have committed a crime. So they approached him when they saw his piety and his worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They approached him with dreams that they have seen on their own. And to make sure that he would give the right interpretation, they switched their dreams. So each one of them told him about the dream of the other to see whether he's going to be able to give the correct interpretation or not. One said, I have seen in my dream that I'm carrying a basket on top of my head that has bread, and birds are eating, vultures are eating from that basket. And the other one said, and I have seen in my dream that I'm the butler of the king, giving him drink, pouring him wine in his cup. Can you please interpret that for us? Sayyidina Yusuf ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam saw this as a moment of da'wah, a moment of invitation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first of all, he said, before I tell you about the interpretation of the dreams, I'm going to show you that I know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to lie to you. So each day, for several days in a row, I'm going to tell you what kind of food will be coming to you before it comes to you. So the guards of the jail or the prison are going to serve you food. I'm going to tell you each day what is going to be the next meal. And this is something that my Lord, now talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. This is part of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who should not be associated with. He asks his cellmates, يَا صَحِبَي السِّجْنِ أَأَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ أم الله الواحد القهار؟ What is better to worship than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are multiple deities and gods better, or the one, the supreme, the creator, the one who is in control of all creatures and all things? And then he told them about the interpretation of their dreams. Each one, the right dream that he has seen, Sayyidina Yusuf told them, one of you actually is a criminal who committed a capital crime, and he's going to be punished for that. He's going to be crucified, and birds are going to eat from his head, from his flesh. And the other one is going to be spared because he was unjustly accused, just like myself, and he's going to be set free, and he's going to become the butler of the king, pouring wine to the king. And then he approached the one that he knew was innocent and told him, when you become free, please remember me, don't forget me. Tell people about my story. Tell people that there's an innocent prisoner that has been thrown in jail for several years. When that innocent person was set free, unfortunately, he forgot about Sayyidina Yusuf. Now he is living in the palace of the king. He is the servant to the king, the butler to the king. So he forgot about Sayyidina Yusuf until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused things to happen to remind him of that innocent prisoner that was his cellmate for several years. The king saw that strange dream, that again, it's a dream and it needs someone with knowledge to interpret that dream. He saw seven thin cows eating seven fat ones, and seven wilted branches of wheat and seven healthy ones. So he understood that, again, this is not a regular dream. It's got to have a significance. So he called for the people around him, asking them, can anyone interpret this dream? But people who lacked the knowledge told him, your majesty or king, this is just a regular dream. Maybe you overate before you went to sleep. Maybe it's a regular nightmare, nothing to worry about. But now that rang a bell in the head of that freed prisoner who said, oops, how could I have forgotten about this pious man who gave me interpretation of my dream? He told the king, I have the answer for you. I have the person who can interpret that dream. So they sent for Sayyidina Yusuf ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wassalam. And Sayyidina Yusuf, only before interpreting the dream, he said, I want everyone to know that I am innocent, that I have been thrown in this jail unjustly. So if you want, go and ask the women who cut their hands, and go ask the wife of the minister about that case that has been years old now. And the woman testified, confessed by saying, he is right, I was wrong, I was on the wrong side, I falsely accused him, and he has been thrown in jail unjustly. And the women have said the same thing, that we conspired against him to be thrown in jail, he didn't commit any crime. Now the king called for Sayyidina Yusuf, and now it's Sayyidina Yusuf's turn to interpret the dream of the king. He told him, in Egypt, again, there are years of flood, and the flood brings silt to the fields, making the fields very fertile, so crops would multiply in a very big way. And usually these things come in cycles. Every period there comes a period of drought, extreme drought, so the flood does not come in time. The fields are lacking water, so the plants would wilt and die. And in a big country like Egypt, that would cause a famine. So he gave them the solution. You are going to plant and you're going to grow crops for 7 years. They're going to be record crops, unprecedented record crops. So do not eat everything. Spare part of it. Keep it in its own twigs and its own branches. Do not separate the grains from the branches. Store it in its branches. So eat what you need to, but store at the same time for the hard years. After these seven record years, you're going to have seven hard years of drought. This is when you can consume what you have stored for the previous 7 years. And then he added another part to the dream of the king, something that the king himself has not seen. ثم يأتي بعد ذلك عام فيه يغاث الناس وفيه يعصرون. And then after these 7 years of drought, there would be another record year where there's going to be prosperity and there's going to be abundance of food and people are going to eat and drink and enjoy their crops. Now the king said, well, I'm going to need someone to help me manage this crisis. Now you help me interpret this dream. Tell me, give me a wish. Tell me, what do you wish for? I know that you have been unjustly imprisoned for so many years. Now it's your turn to wish, and I'm going to grant your wish. Sayyidina Yusuf ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam chose the hardest job, which is the job of the treasurer at the time of famine. But he stepped forward because he had the qualifications to tackle this job. قال اجعلني على خزائن الأرض. And then he gave his credentials. إني حفيظ عليم. I am a very good accountable person, and I can account for the crops coming in and coming out, and I know exactly when to distribute, who to distribute it to, where to distribute it, and so on and so forth. So the king appointed him to that very honorable and responsible position, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَتَبَوَّأُ مِنْهَا حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ نُصِيبُ بِرَحْمَتِنَا مَنْ نَشَاءُ وَلَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That this is a reward for the patience and the perseverance and the supplication of Sayyidina Yusuf ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now he is in a position of great power and great control, and this is a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it's payback time. The cycle of time has been concluded, and now the family of Sayyidina Yusuf ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, those brothers who have conspired against him, are living in poverty with their family in Palestine because of the years of drought. So everyone is coming from neighboring countries to Egypt, to the capital, seeking to get their yearly provisions. So they came to Sayyidina Yusuf ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. They had completely forgotten about him. They thought that he had perished or he has been sold as a slave. So he's a slave somewhere. They never cared about him. But the father, Sayyidina Yaqub ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, never forgot about his son. He's always asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every night to reunite him with that long lost son. And the brothers are making fun of the father. Forget about Yusuf. You have another son now, Binyamin, the younger brother from the same mother, so he can be a substitute for Yusuf. But the father never forgot Yusuf because, again, he knew deep in his heart he could not be dead. He could not be lost because of that dream that someday I know it's going to come true, because the dreams of the prophets are wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not regular dreams. And now the brothers came to Sayyidina Yusuf. He recognized them immediately. And of course they could not recognize him because he has grown older and he is in this powerful position. They couldn't imagine that the treasurer of Egypt, the most important person in the country and probably in the world at that time, is their younger brother that they have betrayed. So he told them, after he recognized them, he didn't tell them about his identity. He told them, well, I'm not gonna give you your provisions. Do you have any additional members of the family? If you bring a younger brother of yours, I am going to give you an additional provision for that younger brother, and I'm gonna give you abundance for your whole family. Just go back and bring that younger brother with you so that you have basically 11 shares instead of just 10. They went back to their father. Now the father is super protective of that young son. He doesn't want anything to happen to him like his older son Sayyidina Yusuf ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. So when the brothers come back, and Sayyidina Yusuf told his servants, put their goods they came to barter with, put them back in their luggage so that they would know that we did not take their goods from them. When they went back to the father, they told him, our father, we were prevented from getting our provisions because the king knew that we have a younger brother. So he said, to give you the fair share, bring your brother with you so that I can give you 11 shares instead of 10. The father, of course, grew suspicious. Are you going to repeat the same cycle again and rid me of my beloved son, this young one? And they told him, no,
even asked the people with whom we came in the caravan, and then when they opened their luggage, they found their goods that they brought with them to barter. They said, look, nothing has been taken from us. That's the proof. And the father told them, well, I'm not going to repeat the same mistake again. I'm not going to send him with you until you give me a promise by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're going to protect him as much as you can. قال لن أرسله معكم حتى تؤتوني موثقا من الله لتأتنني به إلا أن يحاط بكم فلما آتوه موثقهم قال الله على ما نقول وكيل. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testifying on this oath, on this promise, so do not even think about betraying me one more time. And then he told them something very strange. He told them, sons, when you get to Egypt, the gates of Egypt, the borders of Egypt has many gates. Do not all get through from the same gate as 11 brothers together. So distribute yourselves, 2 from this gate, 3 from that gate, 4 from that gate. Do not get into the country from the same route. And he didn't tell them why he said that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it as حَاجَةً فِي نَفْسِ يَعْقُوبَ قَضَاهَا, something deep in his heart that he had a certain feeling, and he didn't share with them the reason of that feeling. Maybe he was afraid of envy, someone with a bad eye envying them, 11 young men, mashallah, or young and old men going together as brethren. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this advice of Sayyidina Yaqub, وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ لِمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. He is truly knowledgeable because we taught him that knowledge, but most of the people do not know about that knowledge. And they go to Sayyidina Yusuf in his palace, and Sayyidina Yusuf sees the young boy, their young brother, who sort of resembles Sayyidina Yusuf in his young age. So he brought that son closer to him and told him a secret, told him, I am your brother. I am your long lost brother, whose your other brothers claimed that he was lost or dead. I am here. Come close to me. And then Sayyidina Yusuf returned their trick back to them and told his servants, hide the cup, the measuring cup of the king, the golden measuring cup of the king, hide it in their luggage. And then call, asking who stole the cup of the king. Of course, the brothers were innocent from that. But again, this is a lesson learned. Sayyidina Yusuf is teaching them what injustice sounds like and looks like. So someone called, where's the cup of the king? We are missing it. We don't find it. And they said, well, someone must have stolen it. Who could have stolen it? So the brother said, we are innocent. We didn't steal anything. And they said, well, let's search your luggage. They searched the luggage, and of course they found it in the luggage of the younger brother. So before finding that cup, they asked, what if we find the cup in your luggage? They said, well, in our rules, in our traditions, in our laws back in Palestine, the Israelite laws, is that if someone has stolen that cup, he becomes the slave of the king. The king owns that person. So when they opened the luggage, they found the cup in the luggage of their younger brother. And that was not the law of Egypt, by the way. The law of Egypt was quite different. So they ruled with their own law, and that was guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَذَلِكَ كِدْنَا لِيُوسُفِ مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُدَ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is plotting on behalf of Sayyidina Yusuf ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam, because they chose the law according to which they want to be judged. If they had chosen the law of Egypt, that wouldn't have been the case. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again concludes this part of the story with نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَنْ نَشَاءُ وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Again, the aspect of knowledge. We raise the ranks of whomever we want, and above every knowledgeable person is someone more knowledgeable than he or she is. And above all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-alim al-hakim. Now the children, the sons, have to go back to Egypt and face their father with the loss of his second son and face the accusations. And one of the oldest brothers told them, go back to Egypt. I can't face my father again With that, go back to Egypt and tell him the truth. Tell him that your son has stolen and he has been kept in Egypt. But before they left, until that day, they have envy and jealousy. I would say envy more than jealousy in their hearts against their old brother, the younger brother, Sayyidina Yusuf, ala Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. When Sayyidina Yusuf extracted the cup from the luggage of their younger brother, they found this another opportunity to defame that long lost brother. قَالُوا إِنْ يَسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخٌ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. If he steals, well, it runs in the family, it seems, because his older brother also stole. He never stole anything. فَأَسَرَّهَا يُوسُفُ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُمْ. Sayyidina Yusuf swallowed that insult and did not show any emotions. قَالَ أَنْتُمْ شَرٌّ مَكَانًا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَصِفُونَ. You are the worst as brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you're talking about is nothing related to the truth. And then when they returned to the father, they told him, our brother, younger brother, stole the cup of the king and he was kept as a slave of the king. And the father did not believe them. But again, with his knowledge, with his patience, with his endurance, he still had hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. And then he said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَأْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا. I'm going to endure patience for the second time. Beautiful patience, not just rebelling against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying, I'm going to be patient. That's not the way to show patience, but calm and serenity and acceptance of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now the father tells them, go back and try one more time. And by the way, ask about any news of your long lost brother, Yusuf. Now, what brought Yusuf in this discussion? The brothers are asking, we just lost another brother. You still remember Yusuf? قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ تَفْتَأُ تَذْكُرُ يُوسُفَ حَتَّى تَكُونَ حَرَضًا أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْهَالِكِينَ. You're going to keep remembering and reminiscing on and lamenting the loss of Yusuf until you die, until you waste your health. And he told them, I am only complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not saying anything to you. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And I know from my Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what you do not know. Again, knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They went back to Sayyidina Yusuf ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, this time with other goods, even worse quality goods, tattered goods, and they asked for clemency and they asked for generosity. قَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزُ مَسَّنَا وَأَهْلَنَا الضُّرُّ وَجِئْنَا بِبِضَاعَةٍ مُزْجَاةٍ فَأَوْفِ لَنَا الْكَيْلَ وَتَصَدَّقْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْزِي الْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ. O King, we came today in weakness, in poverty. We brought our goods. We know they're not worth much, but we're asking for your generosity to give us and give us more than what we deserve. Now it's the apex of the story, the peak of the story, where the final confrontation happens. And he asked them, do you remember what you have done to your brother Yusuf years ago? Now, for the first time, they look in the eyes of that minister of Egypt, that treasurer of Egypt, and they see a familiar face that they have long forgotten. And to their surprise, they open their eyes widely. إِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفُ. Are you Yusuf? They are saying that this in disbelief. And here's the peak of the story. قَالَ أَنَا يُوسُفُ. I am Yusuf. وَهَذَا أَخِي. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Indeed, I am Yusuf and this is my brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed his bounties upon us. Those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and endure patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never waste their deeds. Now, take my shirt back to my father and come back with your whole family. You're going to be honored in Egypt. When the caravan left Egypt to Palestine, hundreds of miles, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the wind with the scent of the shirt of Sayyidina Yusuf ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyidina Yaqub, sitting in Palestine, smells the air and says, إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفَ لَوْلَا أَن تُفَنِّدُونَ. If it were not for you to call me crazy, I am smelling the shirt of Yusuf. I'm smelling the human fragrance, the body fragrance of Sayyidina Yusuf. And they said, oh, you're just hallucinating. And then the bearer of the good news came and put the shirt on the face of the father, and his eyesight was restored. And he told them, didn't I tell you that I know from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what you do not know? Again, knowledge. And now this is the moment where they surrender. قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَ اسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا دُنُوبَنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا خَاطِئِينَ. Oh, our father, we have wronged you for so many years. Please ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. And he told them, قَالَ سَوْفَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ رَبِّي. I will later on ask my Lord to forgive you. Some scholars say that he waited until the last third of the night, which is the time when the supplications are accepted, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive his sons. And now is the fulfillment of the dream of Sayyidina Yusuf ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam, the father and the mother, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, the 10 older brothers and the one younger brother. All of them came and they were reunited. The whole family was reunited in prosperity and in the blessings and in the peace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is the culmination of the life of, or the mission of Sayyidina Yusuf ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. We find that him saying something very, very tender. رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَوِيلِ الْأَحَدِيثِ فاطر السماوات والأرض أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة توفني مسلما وألحقني بالصالحين. Oh Allah, you have given me a great dominion and you have taught me the interpretation of the dreams. Oh, you are the creator of the heavens, of the earth. You are my ally in this life and the hereafter. Take me to you. Let me join you. توفني مسلما. Let me die as a Muslim and let me join the pious ones before me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this story with telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ذلك من أنباء الغيب نوحيه إليك. This is something that you never knew about. All of these details were never given in such a beautiful tapestry of detail to anyone before you. We are giving you this story and so that you, to support your heart and to show you the aspects of knowledge, of patience, of perseverance, of piety, of never forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of always having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, these ayat being revealed in Mecca during the times of hardship and the times of oppression, they give a glimpse of hope to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to his companions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the surah with another very strong commandment to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, similar to one that came in Surah Hud, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ. Here in Surah Yusuf, by the end of the story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to declare, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Tell them, this is my path. I'm not gonna veer away from that path. I'm gonna stay the course. I'm gonna stay on this path. I invite to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a clear vision, myself and my followers, and glory is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Grace and praise is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm not gonna be associating anything or anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very beautiful story, very powerful story, very beautiful lessons to be learned from this story. Inshallah, we're going to continue our journey with the Quran tomorrow, bi-idhnillah, with the surah of Ar-Ra'd, Ibrahim, and Al-Hijr. So until tomorrow, inshallah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.